Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Sunday night. Appreciate you being here. We've got preseason football going on right now, but the starters are out, so I am now live with you. This is the Rebel Report again. My name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to subscribe to the video if you have not already. Like the video if you have not. Subscribe to the video. Subscribe to the channel. Like the video. Leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. And if you're watching on YouTube, do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And if you're listening to this, don't forget to hop on over to YouTube. Double up. Get me as many subscribers everywhere as entirely possible. So glad that you guys are here after what has been not exactly a busy weekend, which is a good thing on the training camp news front. But Ole Miss did get another recruiting pickup. They enter the season recruiting-wise in really, 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 really good shape, honestly. And a couple months ago, it may not have been the case, but now their forward momentum is real. I mean, again, they enter the season on a bit of a heater recruiting-wise in a class that has a really solid foundation as they enter the biggest season, the most anticipated season in at least 21 years for Ole Miss football, possibly even longer. So we'll talk about recruiting. Also, the word out of camp, Daquan Wright did a media op, and there's been some spotted in the wild two tight end sets, and I have thought about the idea or the concept or what that's going to look like for this Ole Miss offense running two tight end sets, and apparently it's real and it's here, so we'll talk about that. Of course, get to your comments as well on this edition of the Rebel Report, which is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Kool-Aid McKinstry got injured tonight. Hopefully it's not long-term for my Saints, but injuries happen in sports. We all know, and now Tyrann Mathieu is off to the injury tent. What in the world is going on? But anyway, let me try to center myself because I'm fuming at the moment. Gosh, this is the worst. The offense finally looks good and everybody gets hurt. But injuries do happen in sports, especially in football. They should not happen to you, but sometimes they do. If you have been personally injured, or you may have a small business situation that you need legal advice, or a contract dispute that you would need legal advice on, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi. He will give you the best advice. If you are in Mississippi, so you don't have to be in Saltillo. If you're in Mississippi, here's the number, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. The Gregory Law Firm, you won't be just another number. He will build a relationship with you. It'll be a much more personal legal experience than you get in other places. Again, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, bringing you Rebel Report live. So you guys saw it. I know all of you saw it already, that Ole Miss got the pickup. The running back, Shekhai Mills-Knight from, he went to the same high school that a couple of my college buddies went to there in Chattanooga. Look, he's a four-star back. He's a big kid already. I don't think has played much football in his life. I think that despite him being, really good, a really high-level prospect, he's still very much a work in progress in terms of, certainly has not peaked or anything like that. A big-time pickup, apparently a really good kid as well on top of that. That's just kind of what everybody is saying about him. And look, if you guys know me, you know that I have a bit of a cynical approach when it comes to recruiting, especially when when it's hyping up individual players. In this era, I'm kind of over that. I've always kind of been over that, but especially now where – you look, and this applies to every team in America. It's not just Ole Miss that has dealt with this, but Luke Altmyer, when he signed with Ole Miss, or when he committed to Ole Miss, it was quarterback of the future. They got him, right? Kedrick Roscano, the same thing. It's, hey, running back of the future, and both of them transferred out because they being Ole Miss, got better replacements. And the same thing has happened, you know, with either Walker Howard or Austin Simmons. I mean, one of them is going to start next year, not both. So it happens like that in recruiting. So I'm kind of weary, especially in the portal era, of taking one commitment and being like, that's the player of the future. That's the guy that's going to take them to the next level. That's it, just because of how the sport works. I try to be as grounded and centered when it comes to recruiting hype as possible, especially with individual players. But this, again, is a good pickup on the surface, another blue chip offensive player. It looks like that they have recovered some from it kind of looking like defense was outpacing the offense in terms of the balance in this recruiting class. But they get Alfred back earlier this month on the boat, the four-star wide receiver. They got him, and now they get a running back as well. So I don't – and look, I'm not a talent evaluator. There's nothing really that you can learn from watching a highlight tape online of an individual player. If Lane Kiffin and Kevin Smith think he can play, then he can probably play. So the angle that I take on it is more big picture and what this player adds to the existing recruiting class, because one player doesn't make or break a recruiting class. The entire class makes or breaks the recruiting class. Breaking news, more to learn. That's how smart I am. But it's true. And so that's why I like to look at it from a totality perspective. Because not every player is going to be on this roster 2 years from now in this class, or 3 years from now. Not every player is going to be a hit either. But when you're signing a high school class, the depth of it is really what separates the high-level programs with the low-level programs. It's how deep is your recruiting class, not what individual player did you get in said class. How many quality players did you get to where you can survive losses in the transfer portal and you can survive some misevaluations, because that's always going to happen. And this high school recruiting class is setting up to be beyond solid, quite good, especially when there's this, I mean, narrative is a word that people throw around a lot. I got asked, I did an interview in the middle of last week where I was asked, you know, Lane Kiffin, you know, he only recruits really through the transfer portal. Is this something that's going to work long term? And I said, well, he doesn't just use the transfer portal. That's just absolutely not true. They use the transfer portal, maybe more than most people that aren't named Colorado, but they're signing full high school classes as well. They sign a full class, maybe not as big as Georgia's in terms of players, but they signed a high school class last year. And a very important one when you look at who those players were and where they're going to play, and maybe even a couple of them fitting in a role on this team even. And they're doing it yet again. Ole Miss has 16 commitments going into, and they, I don't know if they're going to pick up another one between now and the start of the season, but they've got 16 commitments at the moment, and they're not done adding. But more importantly, they've got 16 commitments, and 11 of the 16 commitments are blue chip, four-star or better prospects. And that is where I'm circling and underlining. Not to be, and I hope I'm not coming off as disrespectful to the player, because Chekhai Mills-Knight might be the next big running back at Ole Miss. He might be exactly what everybody says that he is. Elite level player, all that stuff. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but this addition is just another line item on what right now looks like a pretty damn impressive recruiting class for Ole Miss. And for all of the talk and the narrative about Lane only uses the portal, or Lane uses the portal too much, a blue chip ratio like last year's, which, by the way, they got to the 50% number last year. And if you don't know what the blue chip ratio is, it's no team has ever won a national championship in college football in the recruiting rankings era, which started in the late 90s. Without having at least two classes ranked in the top 10 in the 4 years leading up to the title, and the overwhelming majority have had three or four of those top 10 classes. But I'm sorry, that's true. But also the blue chip ratio no team has ever won a championship without having at least 50% of the players on it be a blue chip prospect or higher. So those two stats are absolutely true. And I know in the portal era, the top 10 class thing is just not as important anymore. I kind of confused my stats. What an idiot I am. But point is, Ole Miss is achieving at the moment the above 50% threshold in the blue chip index, which last year there were only 16 teams in college football that had a roster of over 50%. So when you look at the way they're building this recruiting class with well over 50% of the current commitments being blue chip players, pair it with how successful they are in the portal, and this, to me, despite all the questions to the contrary, looks like a sustainable model. When you're adding recruiting class, high school classes that are 50% or more blue chips and supplementing your misses with quality players in the transfer portal, that is a sustainable model. So many questions that I see and get in the offseason. Is this sustainable? Ole Miss uses the portal too much. No, they don't. And here, right here, is proof positive that they don't. So individually, on paper, really good pickup. But this class at the moment is shaping up to be a really solid one. It looks really good at the moment. And as I tell you guys all the time, ignore the rankings until signing day. Because, for example, the class with 11 four-stars in it is ranked 25th at the moment, but they have more than double the four-stars of the team in front of them, which is Georgia Tech. So Ole Miss has 11. Number 24, Georgia Tech has 5. 23 has 7. 22 has 4. 20 has 6. And tied with 20, Florida State has 12. Their blue-chip ratio is literally 100% right now. Number 19 has 8. 18 has 6. 17 has 10. 16, Texas, has 10. So Ole Miss and Texas have the same number of commitments, and Ole Miss has more blue-chip prospects than Texas at the moment in their recruiting class. How about that? 14, I'm all over the place tonight, guys. Sorry, long weekend. 15 is Michigan. That's the first team that has more four-stars or more than Ole Miss. It's Michigan. So Florida State, Michigan, Clemson has one more. They're at 14. USC has one more. They're at 13. Oregon has one more. They're at 12. Penn State has two more, but their class has 23 players in it. So that's why I'm talking about average star rating and stuff like that so much more than just class rankings, because this time of year, class rankings can be deceiving. Ole Miss is putting together a really nice high school recruiting class, despite what the narratives are about how they ignore high school or whatever people say. It's just not accurate. Proof right there in front of you. Also, didn't get to do a show Thursday. Was going to talk about it a little bit Thursday, but that's okay. The two tight end set. Daquan Wright did a media availability, but also they've shown some two tight end looks in practice. I am so curious to see how much more creative that they're going to be with the ability to use multiple tight ends, because Prescorn was obviously hurt last year, and then they kicked Michael Trigg off the team, and suddenly you look at the tight end room, and it's like there's nobody there. They have not had the weapons available as an offense in totality, but they haven't had the weapons available at tight end, like at least the two of them that they've got at the moment. So not only do you love the depth where if Prescorn does get banged up, you've got a really high quality player that will supplement his snaps and fit right in, as opposed to last year where they had to kind of scramble with somebody that they didn't trust or somebody that got hurt right away in Hudson Wolf again, that they've got the workable depth there, but now they can do things creatively, offensively, and schematically that we haven't seen them be able to do yet. And that's run two tight end sets. And I know the wide receiver room is deep and it's really talented, but you guys have brought up five wide sometimes with me before. And I'm more curious to see what a three wide with two tight set can look like, or a two wide like 22s and stuff like that, you know? I mean, really getting creative with formations and how they attack teams, especially when they get up in games, like when they get leads early against Texas A&M last year that they couldn't hang on to. Stuff like that, and how they're able to wear teams down in the running game with two tight ends on the field. But the exploitation of mismatches with those two guys paired with Harris and Wells on the outside, it's an embarrassment of riches. But this, they've had good players on offense in the Ford Kiffin years so far, but they haven't had this at their disposal yet. And hearing that it's actually going to be a thing this season is really that the prospect of that is really, really exciting to me. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I hope that you guys are as well. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. absms.com, that's the website. Tell them I sent you, and you will get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Also, the broadcast is brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. There's 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard. There's one in my backyard. It's right next to Topgolf. So I will be it's almost not almost done. It'll be up in December, but I will be probably hurting my bank account at the Topgolf because it's like the only thing that I can do around here coming up soon. But anyway, Priority One Bank makes you their priority every single day. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Yes, I know I was 5 minutes late. All of you can kiss my, you know what? I see it. I'm sorry I'm late. This is early for Borky. Michael on time. Borky, yeah. Hit the like button, though. Yes, thank you, Eugene. I appreciate it. Guys, it was a long weekend, okay? And then I had a hard time getting little man to bed. I mean, just a hard time getting him to bed tonight. It was the last hour was a tough hour. And they're usually not tough, but that one was tough. But anyway, it's past your bedtime. I'm grounded. Love the podcast. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you. Can't wait for kickoff. If Deer commits, that would be awesome, but I'm not sure he will now. Yeah, that would be. That would be. I'm so curious to see what they're going to do with the running back position next year. Because what does Diggs look like when he comes back? I mean, I know he's out there on the practice field, but not close to being full speed. But, I mean, you're looking at a situation where it's, you know, he's returning. I'm sure they'll portal one. Clearly, they seem to really like this guy now that they just got from Chattanooga. And yeah, they'll portal because that's what they do. But curious to see what direction they go in the running back room this year. Bentley and Parrish being gone. Isn't Amos out of eligibility as well? I should know that. It's just so hard to keep up with. I think he's out of eligibility, but I'm just going to double check before I tell you guys something that's not true, which, you know, it's probably something that I should do more often. Oh, he should have eligibility. Shoot, he's got a lot of eligibility. Never mind. If he shows up this season, then they're actually, despite two departures, personnel on paper-wise, they might be quite all right. Glad to finally catch the show live for once. Appreciate you, man. Glad that you're here. Recruiting class is coming together well. Too much panic in the summer always corrects itself, especially with the balance, right? Like, I'm going to read you the positions of the four stars. This isn't like, you know, a Hugh Freeze class where there's four blue-chip wide receivers and then one linebacker who should be a walk-on, right? I mean, here are the four stars in this class. Running back, wide receiver, linebacker, defensive back, another wide receiver for a good measure, DB, DN, D-tackle. That's what this – here, sorry, I screwed up the organization. Let me try this again. I'm telling you, I'm so screwed. Athlete, DB, DB, another DB, defensive tackle, safety, wide receiver, another one, linebacker, running back. I mean, that's the balance there is impressive. It's on the defensive line. It's in the secondary. It's at linebacker. It's at wide receiver. It is a balanced class, and they've got a couple of offensive linemen that are not the blue chip guys, but they're adding in there as well. It's a balanced class. Caden should have a Brock Bowers type year. What did Brock Bowers put up numbers wise last year? Don't forget, he was also hurt too. Brock Bowers' headshot that comes up, by the way, when you Google him, is hilarious. They need to update that picture. Let's see. Brock Bowers, I got to do college stats because he's in the NFL now. Nope, it's giving me preseason. Goodness gracious. Sorry, guys. Here we go. Last year caught 714 yards worth of passes in 10 games, 12 touchdowns. Year before it was 942. I would, if you made me pick between the two, I would pick the 700 number before the 900 number. But not going to be able to stay on long this week. You got band camp at Ole Miss. It goes until 9 p.m. all week. Love the new practice field, though. Man, that's awesome. Saw the renderings and stuff like that, and it looked great, especially compared to the crap that you guys had to deal with before they renovated the band field. You guys actually look like it's a serious operation now, which is deserved. So thanks for being here, though, man. I know that you guys are pretty jacked up about getting – I mean, do you go to all the games, or is it just like they take a small amount of you? What's the road situation like? What's the TV viewing setup for the fall? Two TVs and an iPad. I'm still just rolling with that. But one of them is likely going to have, you know, Minions, which, by the way, got a Minion in my hand right now. I'm just stepping on them. They're everywhere at this point. You know, whatever movie we're into at the moment will have to occupy one, and I'll get the other two for me. That'll be it. So I'll have three screens, but only two of them with actual games on. Recently got an iPad and it's added functionality. Dude, I love, especially when it gets cold, setting up a fire in the back and just putting my feet up like next to the fire and watching football on my iPad. It's hard to beat that. That's better than like three screening it to me. You just get like a glass of bourbon or something and just prop your feet up next to the fire. I'm an old man in a 32-year-old body, which is also kind of old too. So Priest Corn is great. Could be all SEC, but he's not Bowers. It's like saying a running back could be Herschel Walker or Bo Jackson. Don't forget they had one hell of a defensive line haul from last year's recruiting. Exactly. That's the thing. That question kind of baffled me a little bit last week. It's, you know, Lane Kiffin just builds rosters through the portal. Is that sustainable? And my response was just, well, that's not exactly true. And then you have this other narrative that the players that they recruit in the portal are exclusively one and done players, which is also really goofy. Let's see. I'm pulling up their depth chart right now, or at least, you know, the one that shows up online. It's certainly not scientific or anything. But among their starters, like Jackson Dart's a third-year starter. He's a transfer. Ulysses Bentley's a transfer, but he's been in the program for years. Trey Harris, this is his second year at Ole Miss, despite being a transfer. Jared Ivey is a multi-year guy, despite being a transfer. J.J. Pegues is a multi-year guy being a transfer. Kalo Stone, multi-year guy being a transfer. Dottery, multi-year guy, is a transfer. He's going to play a lot on this team. John Saunders, multi-year guy. I mean, that's what they're doing, and that's what they've done. It's not just like one-year mercenaries. And so that's because people just look at Princely and Nolan and think that's all they're doing, but that's not all they're doing. They've done a really good job of, yes, adding talent through the portal, but adding talent through the portal that is not just showing up in May and leaving in December. It's guys that have multiple years of eligibility that do buy into program and culture and things like that. And I don't know how people can sit back and watch what they've done over the last 3 years, watch how they've done it, and still think, eh, I don't know. I don't know. This doesn't work. You have to do it this way. It doesn't make sense. I think that largely people are stubborn or unwilling to think critically. I swear, because when I get asked goofy stuff like that, it just kind of makes me scratch my head of, you're not paying attention. Or are we sure the portal strategy works at Ole Miss? Yes. How are you not sure that it works? Can it win a championship? I don't know. But how often does Ole Miss win championships? The fact that they're even in the championship conversation is a testament to how they build a roster. It's proof that it's working, because they wouldn't be in this way if they tried to just stick to traditional recruiting. They would not be in this position. Because they're doing it a different way is how they get a Walter Nolan on their team. They don't get Walter Nolans in traditional recruiting the same way Georgia does. It's 29 wins in 3 years. Only Georgia and Alabama in the SEC, including Texas and Oklahoma, have won more games in the last 3 years than that. They went to their second Access Bowl in 3 years. Very few programs can say that while being in the SEC West, while also having to play Georgia. It's just not rooted in objective reality. And that's the thing about it. It's not an opinion. Like, I'm not sharing my opinion. It is objective reality that what they're doing has gotten them closer to the top than they have been since my father was born. That's the conversation we're having here. They haven't been in this position since before my father was born as a program. And they're here now, and you've got people wondering if they should do it this way. It makes absolutely no sense. None at all. We're in such a dead period waiting on football. I need Florida State, Georgia Tech bad. Me too. Me too. This week is going to be slow. Because we're not going to get – teams are going to be done with camp, and so they're going to start shutting everything down across the country because they're starting to get into game preparation mode. So there's going to be less, like, real news coming out of programs unless it's injuries. Like, that's the only news that we're going to get. You're getting, like, starting quarterbacks popping up, getting named. I saw that there was a little bit of drama at Boise State today because the former number one overall player couldn't win the job at Boise State. But, yeah, this week's going to be slow. It is. And then next week's going to, boom, off to the races. But looking forward to talking season coming to an end. If I know what you mean, I know exactly what you mean. Because people have lazy takes as far as roster building. No kidding. The closer we get to the season, the more doubters you see against Ole Miss. Meanwhile, LSU, A&M, and Oklahoma are getting hype. Let them see what happens. I actually kind of like the prospect of Texas A&M this year. Not to make the playoffs, but I do think that I've said it 100 times on the radio show. There are too many people, and I'm kind of talking to State fans when I say this, that are putting a W next to A&M, and I don't think you should. They're talented. Quarterback's healthy. They will be better coached. They're going to beat some people. How do I feel about people calling this an all-in for Ole Miss this season? I honestly believe that Ole Miss has the pieces to contend for years on. And that's kind of the genesis of this conversation, right? It's they're not all in because they're building for the future. Look at what they've done in the wide receiver room. Yes, I know they added Juice Wells, but look at who is behind them and then who's coming in this recruiting class. They are building moving forward. Look at what they're doing at the quarterback position. Look at what they did on the defensive line last year in recruiting. If this was an all-in season, then what I think people are trying to get at when they say this is all in for Ole Miss is if this roster underachieves, then when will they have a roster that won't? like if this one doesn't work, then it's just not going to work is kind of what people are getting at. But I do not think that they are all in, because you're seeing evidence of building for 2025 and beyond. If I were them, I know that I'm not the first person to say this, I would stop calling it the last dance. I know they're just kind of playing off Michael Jordan and stuff like that, and it's mostly about the guys that decided to return instead of going to the NFL. I get it, but that branding's not helping them. But it's not – they would have made the playoffs in two of the last three seasons had the 12-team playoff existed. Were they all in then? No, but they made the playoff anyway. Ole Miss would have played in the second round of the playoffs last year. Were they all in last year? No. So the 2021 team that made the Sugar Bowl, completely different players than this team that's going into this season. It's become a tired thing about you know ball, you don't know ball mantra, but man, a lot of people really don't know ball. But they just don't pay attention. Recruiting is not a problem, but I do think they need to grow players after they recruit them. Right, of course. But, like, do you think that every high school recruit is supposed to be a contributor? Because, like, the math doesn't work on that. You're not going to have a 100% hit rate with high school players. And so when you use the portal to balance your misses and to also help you level the playing field, getting guys that you wouldn't get in traditional recruiting, I don't know. I mean, people think that – also another thing that people talk about is, well, using the portal shows you that you can't develop talent. I think Brian Kelly said something like that at Media Days. It's, well, the guys that use the portal, they can't develop talent. Is Jared Ivey the same player now than he was when he showed up at Ole Miss? Is he the same player? Nope. Is Jackson Dart the same player that he was when he showed up at Ole Miss? Hell no. Not anywhere close to being the same player. You can also develop portal guys too, and they clearly have been able to bring in a lot of guys, and they play their best football after they get to Ole Miss. Malik Heath is another one. Well, why can't they get traditional, you know, why haven't they had high school receivers work out? Does it matter when they're able to bring guys in? And I mean, Malik Heath played his best football at Ole Miss. I don't know. I think that that's an overrated talking point as well, because if you have a portal player for multiple years and they get better as they've been in your program, who cares if they came out of the portal or from high school? They clearly show that they can develop football players. That they there's proof positive that they do it. They just don't depend on exclusively developing high school players, because they're not necessarily able to sign all the best high school players in the country like Georgia can. Talking about window programs and yearly contenders, could Ole Miss be somewhere in the gray area in between? That's a good question. It's a really good question. I think that this year is so important because of what it can do for next year and beyond. You guys think that the Grove Collective is popular and well-funded now? Meet those lofty goals. Make the semifinals. Make the playoffs and win a couple of games in the playoffs. That the money's going to just start rolling in. And so what this season means for the future of Ole Miss football is crazy when you think about it, because it's so much more do you have the money now driven. You're not slowly building programs anymore. Kirby Smart was whining about how he doesn't have depth anymore. He can't keep depth anymore. Georgia can't keep stockpiling players anymore, because it's about immediacy. More about immediacy. There are still some guys that are willing to wait and willing to accept roles, and that's awesome that there are guys that do that, but not everybody does that, to the point where Kirby Smart is complaining about it, that he doesn't have the depth anymore. So with success comes the ability to have more immediate success. Now, there's also a flip side to it. And I know that the settlement's coming, and there's a line of thinking that with the settlement, NIL collectives are not going to be as important anymore. I don't buy that yet. I've got to see that to believe that. I don't think that schools are just going to say, you know what, collective, no thanks. We've got this revenue sharing thing, and we don't need to supplement anything. We'll just recruit with this capped salary pool, essentially, and nothing after that. No shot. I think collectives are still going to be here and be here to stay. So underachieving, I think, can be harder to overcome than it was in years past. And having success can be easier to sustain than it's been in years past, regardless of who your team is. You think next year's team, 9-3, will be considered a success, where 9-3 this year will be a failure? Likely. It'll likely be about that. Breaking in a new quarterback, going to be a tough schedule if they flip them. Most everybody expects the 9-game conference schedule to be here after next year or a couple years down the road. So A&M will be sneaky good. Texas 8-4. I've still got that Photoshop saved. If not now, when means to you at least making the SEC championship game? See, this is something that Richard profoundly disagrees with. I could not possibly care if you make the SEC championship or not. What do you do in the playoffs? What do you do in the playoffs? I mean, who cares? Oh, you never made it to Atlanta. But, yeah, you've made it to the second round of the playoffs. Have you? Like, I don't know. I don't find that to be important, as important anymore. It's like the NCAA tournament in basketball. Like, does it matter if you win in Nashville? If you lose in the opening round of the NCAA tournament, nobody gives a crap what you did. And I know it's apples to oranges. I understand that it's different in football. I get it. But what you do in the playoff matters a hell of a lot more than if you made it to Atlanta or not. So I know that it would be good for them to make it there, but that game matters less now. It absolutely, undeniably, inarguably matters less now. The SEC championship matters less today. Absolutely it does. Literally nothing what people say now matters, so everyone's just saying stuff for clicks. That being said, Indiana's going 9-3. T, you know, I think your employer will very shortly be a salty program. I do. I think that they made a hell of a hire, and it might take him a little bit to really get there. But if we look up and Indiana's beating somebody they're not supposed to this year, it shouldn't surprise anybody. Do I think Pete Golding could keep things rolling if Lane were to leave after a great season? I think the pieces would be there, but there's obviously something special about Lane. I think that he would do a very good job. I don't think that it would feel the same as it currently feels under Lane, but I do think that he would be a really good job, and his connections, he would be able to hire a great coordinator, and the recruiting would be really, really, really good. And he would be more of a boots on the ground fundraiser type as well. I think he would do a good job. I really do. But also, I agree with you. I've said many times before, I think that Lane's next job is in the NFL. Do I see Ole Miss as that next big blue chip player school with Lane Kiffin? I can see it. It's already happening. Their success in the portal is They are having success getting players at the moment for two reasons. One, because they have a very solid reputation of they are funded and they will pay you exactly what they say they will pay you. They have that reputation across college football. Is the Grove Collective is funded, and when they come to an agreement with you, you will get paid what they agree that you will get paid. And they've built that. It's very straightforward with them. And also, it looks like it's a fun place to be a part of. And so when you're well-funded and you're winning and you're fun, they're already becoming that. Don't let just high school recruiting rankings make you think that that is the only way to roster build. That's what we're talking about tonight. People just get so caught up in that they think that a number one transfer portal class is like some gimmick when it's not. Those players are Walter Nolan's going to suit up for Ole Miss this year. So I don't understand the dismissal of it, but. I know teams won't have 100% hit rate, but there does seem to be a lack of development when it comes to high school recruits. I'm not denying the successful transfer, but I question long-term. But why question long-term? You're 3 years into it, and your program's having more success than ever. What is there to question at this point? What is there to question? They are winning in ways that they never have as a program in my father's lifetime. They've never won like this in my father's lifetime. What is there to question? Seem to remember Weiss Sr., who I guess was at practice this week, according to his Twitter. Being a big fan of the two tight end set, he spent last week in Oxford and offered very high praise to the entire football operation. Would be good to interview. I should reach out. I mean, he's not really doing anything anymore, is he? Welcome to Buffalo, Lane Kiffin. Welcome to New Orleans, Lane Kiffin. If it doesn't go well, got to go see you later. I got to go too, actually. I've got to go too. Last question. Lane leaves for the NFL. Golding is next head coach. Mullen becomes the next OC. Thoughts? I think Dan Mullen will – I'm probably going to be wrong about this. I think Dan Mullen has coached his last college football game. Not for any reason other than he doesn't want to deal with it anymore. He's kind of said that publicly already. But anyway, I got to run. You guys are the absolute best. We'll be back on Tuesday night, as always, getting closer and closer and closer inside of 2 weeks. 13 days as we sit right now, 12 as almost all of you are listening to this, but getting closer. You guys are the best. So thank you, and I'll see you on Tuesday night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.